Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko travels to Berlin for talks with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. And meanwhile, Merkel's erstwhile ally-turned-critic Horst Seehofer travels to Moscow to meet Vladimir Putin. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
And also with us is Pavel Butorin, editor-in-chief of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Happy Monday to everyone.
Happy Monday. It's great to have you both in the studio. So the Western powers, it appears, are now pushing for a final settlement in Donbass, and it's hitting the same snag it always hits. Russia's insisting on its interpretation of the Minsk agreement, meaning that reintegrating the separatist-held areas into Ukraine as autonomous republics with the current leadership in place. And Moscow is counting on the West to pressure Ukraine into accepting this. But such an outcome is unacceptable to Kyiv. Steve, this keeps going round and round and round, and it's hard to see where it stops. How do you view the Poroshenko-Merkel talks? Do you expect Merkel to be putting pressure on?
Well, I think she's going to have to put pressure on Poroshenko. I mean, it'll have to be a mixture of support and pressure. You know, I think this meeting is going to be one in many, I guess, this year. It's kind of a year in which we're going to see how this is going to move forward and whether Russia can get what it wants. But as you say, it is hard to see how it ends. And I really don't see it ending very soon because, I mean, you have kind of three groups here, the West and Ukraine and Russia, and they all want different things to some extent. And one problem here is they're all under internal pressure, domestic pressure. I mean, for instance, you have Merkel. They have elections coming up in the fall in Germany. You know, she's under pressure to mend the relationship with Russia to some extent, at least from her enemies or challengers. So Merkel and the rest of the West and Europe are under pressure to have an outcome here and sort of end the conflict. But as you said, the terms that Russia wants to end it on are unacceptable to Kyiv.
And would be destabilizing inside Ukraine, probably.
Right. And they would be that's the pressure on Poroshenko. How can you have, last week they pushed forward or bought themselves some more time for a decentralization legislation by deciding that it didn't have to come before February 1st. But still, that's going to start to come to a head later this year. And right, as you say, destabilizing. So Poroshenko's under pressure. He can't agree to what Moscow wants. And then in Russia, Putin still, you know, he needs to look strong. He can't accept anything that's going to look like Russia's giving in, especially with the economy so bad. And, you know, again, elections.
He can't have
up.
A foreign policy defeat, is the way Vladimir Frolov put it on the podcast Friday. He just
right,
can't
exactly,
have one.
Because pretty much he's relying on foreign policy for his popularity at this point to a large degree. So that's, you know, to me, that's a formula for
deadlock.
For deadlock, continued deadlock, and a lot of, you know, a lot of talk. But we'll see what happens this year. And, you know, there's still fighting going on. So
no, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, because what Moscow wants is unacceptable and I think impossible for Ukraine to deliver. And Putin can't have a foreign policy defeat. So it seems to be heading, as we've said before, towards a frozen conflict. But there's two different ways it can end in a frozen conflict. A frozen conflict in which sanctions stay in place, which is certainly what the Ukrainians want. And a frozen conflict in which sanctions are lifted, which I think would be Russia's acceptable plan B. If they can't get these territories, which is, we're talking about 5% of Ukraine's territory here, reintegrated into Ukraine the way Moscow wants it, as a Trojan horse, as the republics currently in place with the separatist leaders in place. If they can't get that, I think they'd settle for a frozen conflict as long as sanctions are lifting. And that's the rub right now. One of the things Moscow's counting on is fatigue in the West for keeping up the sanctions. And this brings us to the other thing that's going on this week. Horst Seehofer, the leader of Bavaria, who's in part of the, who's the sister member of the sister party of Angela Merkel's ruling Christian Democrats, is planning a trip to Moscow to meet Putin. This is causing a lot of anxiety in Germany. And this may be a sign that Germany's resolve may be weakening. No,
well, I think certainly it's going to be to some degree a matter of who is blamed if Minsk sort of falters and is not implemented in any real way. And, you know, Putin will obviously be counting on it that it's seen that Kiev is to blame. Mm-hmm. And that way he'll get some, you know, people in Europe like Seehofer, you know, pressuring, saying, look, we're trying, but Ukraine's not delivering. Mm-hmm. So why do we need to keep the sanctions on? So I think perception of who's to blame for the failure or for the failure to move forward is going to be a big element of whether the sanctions are lifted or not.
And Seehofer says he's going to Moscow to talk about trade, which it was interesting. Up until now, Merkel has managed to keep the German industrial lobby in line. This may be a sign Bavaria has had an enormous amount of trade with Russia. This may be a sign that the industrial lobby is getting tired of these sanctions. Pavel, I bet the Seehofer visit's getting a lot of attention in Moscow, no?
Well, I have to say that, you know, it's not the first time, however, that a Bavarian leader has met with the Russian president directly. But in this, you know, under these circumstances, of course, some of Russia's state-controlled media have been playing it up, the visit of the Bavarian leader, suggesting some sort of division within the German leadership over the issue of sanctions and Ukraine, et cetera.
Right. So it's getting play on Russian media this way, yeah. What else you got cooking this week at current time? Pavel?
Well, one story we're expecting to do this week is on a controversial book on the Holocaust that was recently published in Lithuania. The book titled Our People, Journey with an Enemy was co-authored by Lithuanian writer Rūta Vanagaitė and American-born Israeli historian and Nazi hunter Dr. Ephraim Zurov. The writers accuse the current Lithuanian government of trying to minimize the role of Lithuanian collaborators during the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And this book is causing quite an uproar in Lithuanian society. It's worth noting that in 1995, President Brazauskas issued a formal apology to Israel for the role of Lithuanians in the Holocaust. So we're going to have a video package on that. There's one more story from the Baltics we're hoping to do this week. Over the last 5 years, thousands of Russians have fled to Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, where they're not just trying to make a home, but, you know, trying to work to transform the political situation in Russia itself. For some Russians, the Baltics are something of what an ideal Russia could be. You know, you immigrate to a European country, yet you can speak Russian, and right. There are, you know, democratic institutions. And just a few examples, you know, that the popular Russian news website Medusa is based in Riga. In Riga, Latvia. And so is music critic and also government critic Artem Troitsky.
He's in Tallinn.
He's in Tallinn. Yeah, you're right. In the Baltics, in other words. And he actually is the one who predicted a mass exodus of the Russian opposition to those countries. If I have time, there's also one other story we're expecting to run today or tomorrow, and that's on the living conditions in towns and villages near the line that separates Georgia and its breakaway Republic of South Ossetia. Mm-hmm. Our listeners will probably know that the International Criminal Court in The Hague announced last week it will probe allegations of war crimes committed by both sides during Russia's war with Georgia in 2008.
Yeah. No, those all sound like interesting things to watch, and you can watch them at www.currenttime.tv. Is that the correct web? Good, I got it right this week. Cool, and I highlighted this, the Russian emigration to the Baltics, in this morning's Daily Vertical as well. But I'm sure your report will be much more in depth than my 2 minute video. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in this studio has been senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman and Pavel Butorin, editor-in-chief of RFRL's Russian language television program Current Time, which I'll say it again, you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. And join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the ambient sounds of Noise MC.